At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories here for the week of January 18th, 2022, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, that's right. News AF back again here with the guys to talk about everything happening on our planet Earth that's of interest to the listeners of News AF. And here is a man who, of course, is Pickleball's top influencer, rocking the Gamma Pickleball gear. Here he is. It's Tyson Apostle.
What's up? Yeah, I'm all branded out today. I got my Gamma Pickleball shirt, Fila tracksuit jacket, Pickle Play hat, and just missing a couple other partners, but still, that's pretty good. Three.
Does Fila make tearaway pants?
I don't own any tearaway pants from Fila, but they probably do.
Mm-hmm. Just be cool, like to show up, like as a flex, just rip those pants off.
I mean,
how do you know?
Yeah. Is that what you would do, Danny? Where sort of then it's like, you would just like walk up and like, okay, this guy doesn't look that great. And then you break away your
pants. Oh my gosh.
Did you see those quads?
Here's the thing. If you're going to do the tearaway pants, you need to practice at home, because if you can only partially tear away your pants, it's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
Just go home. It's either all or nothing. You either take off those pants in one fell swoop, mm-hmm, or you don't even attempt it. It's a big, scary risk to try and tear your pants off in public.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you have experience with this, or that's just what you're
assuming? No, I just think about it all the time. Like, think about Hulk ripping his shirt, right? What if he could only partially rip it, and he's like, oh, wait, hold on. And then he had to slit his, you know, arms through and then pull it over his head. Mm-hmm. Dude, it just like takes away any kind of authority.
Hogan. Yeah.
What did I say?
You said, Hulk.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Hulk, too.
I thought you were talking about the Incredible Hulk, or is it about Hulk Hogan?
No, the Hulk Hulk.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Incredible Hulk as
well. No, his came off voluntarily, but his pants always stayed on. Yeah.
So I heard that the Hulk, or Hulk Hogan, had a pre-cut shirt.
That makes sense, because you can't risk a partial tear and then a classic removal. Mm-hmm. It just it takes a power move and makes you look pathetic.
Right.
No, okay. Just be careful, Tyson. If you do go to tearaway pants, practice at home, please, before attempting it on court in front of everyone.
All right. And also here with us today, the man, the inventor of the ice pick pull up. It's Danny Bryson.
Yes, Danny Bryson. And also, I mean, we didn't know this until today, a fan of tearaway pants.
Yeah, you know, there is a place for tearaway pants.
Church.
Sure. Yeah. To liven things up, just in the middle of the meeting, just stand up and be like, yes, I feel it. And
then testify.
Take them off, testify. No, a beach would be a good place for tearaway pants. Sure. Especially if you had like a formal dinner before going to the beach.
I've had tearaway pants. I've owned tearaway pants and used them before.
Oh, really? For what? Swimming?
Cyclocross.
Ah, yeah. See, there you go.
Cold bike races, Rob, you'd wear athletic tearaways to warm up in a little bit, and then wear your cycling racing clothes underneath.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It snaps though, right? Yeah. I've never owned a pair, so I just always assumed it was a couple snaps.
They snapped, Yeah,
that's pretty majestic. Some slow motion shots of that would be great. Just
I don't think I ripped them off in one swoop. I just like unbuttoned them. But the reason that they were nice is because you could keep your cycling shoes on.
Yeah. And
everything on. That's the whole point of the tearaway, I think, is that you can keep your shoes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So,
all right. That's all I've got to say.
That's the science of tearaway pants.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for checking out News AF this week. We'll be back to talk more about pants or anything else next week. Yeah. Anything else going on, Danny?
Adventures.
Yeah. Oh, I've been trying to plan adventures.
I saw you skiing some pretty crappy snow out there.
It hasn't snowed in a while.
With Kristoff, as he likes to be called.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell you guys this story, but I do have a story. Ooh. We were talking about the metaverse or VR last week.
Sure.
Yeah. My kid won. I've never seen anyone win a raffle ever.
Okay.
But we went to a roller skating rink and my kid got a raffle ticket and won a set of Oculus VR goggles.
Nice, okay, dude.
All
the
right.
The newest
Here's the worst model. Part. Here's the word. Yeah. The latest model.
Okay.
The worst part is after they had called it out, the whole roller skate rink is dead quiet, trying to realize who it is. My kid realizes he's got the ticket and starts screaming, "We got another one. We got another one." And all my kids were screaming that. And I was like, it's just going to, people are going to be so upset if they hear you screaming, "We got another one."
Right.
But he won. I've never seen that happen. Never.
So yes, upset. I've won. You want me to tell you my raffle story?
I do. I'm very interested because it's, you're gonna so like rare. This.
So I went to Interbike, which is the largest bicycle convention in at least the United States, and in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Convention Center. And I'm at this because I was working in management, helping operate a bike shop, and I already won Survivor at this point, I think. And I go to this booth of this bike company we work with, and they were like, "Hey, when we first went there, every dealer that worked with this bike shop got a raffle ticket."
Okay.
And so there was like 50 of us. And then they were like, "Hey, Tyson, as like a celebrity, we want you to draw for who wins."
Uh-oh.
This pro, because they were sponsoring a pro team in Europe at the time. So it was this team replica bike, which was like it was probably retail, probably like a $3,000 bike.
Wow.
And I was like, "But what if I draw my own number?" They're like, "Well, then you win." And they turn to all the dealers and they're like, "If Tyson draws his own number, is that okay if he still takes the bike?" And everybody's like, yeah, no problem. Reach in, pull out my number. I'm like, boom, I won. And they were like, "Oh my gosh." And then I'm holding the bike like this. Danny, this comes full circle back to Danny. I sold that bike. And with that money, I went on a Chinese vacation.
Nice. Was anybody, when you looked out into that crowd after you drew that ticket, did you see any angry faces or had everybody just
a little bit kind of like, that's crazy that he had a full conversation about it and then drew his number. But that was like just like a little hesitancy, but still good. And because I did use that money to travel China with you, I now realize that I had not won Survivor yet.
You know what? I like hearing stories about people who win raffles, because when you're growing up as a kid and you look at cereal boxes and you look at all these contests, you know, going on, you start to believe that nobody ever wins. Because you never see winners. Like, I never saw winners of the McDonald's challenges until later when the scam was exposed. And so it's nice to hear these stories to make me believe and buy for, you know, in the future, raffle tickets. Because up until now, I just assumed that it was all rigged. The whole game was rigged.
You're addicted now, huh?
Yeah, now I'm like, dude, we should buy lottery tickets.
Raffles.
Yeah. Raffle tickets. Every opportunity we have, we should play the game of chance.
Yeah.
We're on
our own. Yeah, I already do that.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Now, can I ask about the vacation to China? Because when I heard you two talk about your Chinese stories, that I just assumed that you were doing missionary work and had gone to China on the
destination,
mission.
Destination vacation.
So why did you two decide to go to China as the destination for your vacation?
Danny was taking Chinese Mandarin in school and wanted to get more proficient at it. So he and his family, through some connections, he and his immediate family. So I think he,
me, Beck, Liz, and Beck,
Beck, yeah, his oldest, through connections of Danny's father, right?
No, school. I just school. Went to school. Yeah.
Oh, you went through the school. Ended up doing like an internship in China for how many months were you there?
I think 4 months, 5 months.
For 4 months or 5 months. And then I just went out and stayed and visited China, because I thought this is probably the only reason or chance I'll ever get to go to China. And so I went, I applied, got a visa, and flew out to Shanghai. I stayed in Danny's apartment in Shanghai, and then we took the high speed train that traveled 1,000 miles in 5 hours to Beijing.
It might have been a maglev train.
It wasn't the maglev. The maglev's the one
goes
from
to the airport.
Chang,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was just the high speed train. And then we went to the Great Wall of China. We had another friend with us, Sam, and we had a great time. I still have some pictures from China. And
we did lose back two,
on that time.
2 years off our life, though, due to the smog in Beijing, yeah, which mm-hmm. is exactly. just an experience in and of itself. You're like, is this fog? And they're like, no, actually, this is straight up car exhaust.
Yeah, it's just all, in. Yeah, and factory. Like,
what an experience.
Yeah, it really was.
This is like a Chinese trademark.
And this was crazy is that on that high speed train, you got to see the lay of the land, which was pretty much like a little bit of emptiness and then a tiny village built around a giant smoking factory. And then a little bit of emptiness and then a little village built around a giant smoking factory. And that's basically the entire Chinese countryside from Shanghai to Beijing was a little bit of farmland and then civilization. And in the center of civilization, instead of a castle, was a giant smoking factory just dumping out a bunch of smoke. Mm-hmm. Probably that's what they produced was smoke.
It's like we produce the greatest smoke in the world. You know, yeah. Like you can get air from Tasmania because it's the cleanest air in the world, or you can get some snow.
Yeah.
But now you just like bottle up some Beijing air and send it to your best friend and be like, dude, experience China on your own terms in your living room.
I don't think there's you have to be safe though, because you can't open a bottle of Beijing air in too small of a room or you could die.
Mm-hmm. You black out.
Right.
So yeah, that's how we basically bonded. Well, we did live in Switzerland together, but this was the ultimate test of friendship. Him to come and hang out with my family.
It was you and the family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what a great friend, Tyson.
Yeah. Right. Tyson was, I was blown away that he actually came out and visited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was great. So Danny and I, when we were single, we had this agreement that if one of us planned a trip or wanted to do a trip and the other one was available, had no reasonable excuse. You had to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I visited Tyson when he raced in Europe almost every year. You were there at the end of your season. Mm-hmm. So we drive around loud Americans in Tyson's team car. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think back to that. I'm a little embarrassed.
How are we not dead though? I also was like, we got taken advantage of a little bit, but we never got like fully taken advantage of. Like none of us ever like got stolen. None of us like nobody kidnapped. Yeah. And I was just like, we just like walked around everywhere like we owned everything. Yeah.
When you say you got taken advantage of, well, what happened?
Well, we were in Bosnia.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of, Bosnia. Tyson made the mistake of telling the guy.
Ordering off the menu. Ordered off the menu.
Yeah. What a mistake. The guy brought him the grossest fish, like a platter of like probably garbage fish.
Yeah.
I think that this, you've told the story. Yeah. I think maybe during our fish fraud days.
Yeah. It cost like $150 or something.
Yeah. It was like $200.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rental car company also in Prague, Danny. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
We walked around. We pointed out a dent on the car. They said, don't worry about it. Then they charged Danny's card for that exact dent in the car when we returned the car.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened several times with rental cars, and which is why I'm so suspect. And it's just expecting to get ripped off every time I do a rental
car. I take pictures of any like questions.
Yeah, I'll do that too. And now they actually have you do that. This was like at the beginning of the internet.
They have you mark it and stuff. Yeah. But now I always take pictures.
With the today's newspaper.
Yeah, no, just with the date on the, because you can look at
that's right.
Details
proof
on
of
camera.
Life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can just do it with the camera stamp, timestamp.
Yep.
Exactly.
So yeah, world travelers, best friends and podcasters now.
Okay.
Yeah, brought us together.
Well, let's talk about some of the top stories today. And
I thought that was the top story.
Some of the other top stories of the day, because I want to talk about what's going on over at FedEx, where FedEx is pushing to get lasers that can destroy missiles set up on new FedEx aircraft. Are we ready for FedEx planes to be armed?
Yes, because I ordered a package from Spain 2 months ago. It was supposed to be here in 2 weeks. And I can only assume that the jet was blown up by some anti-FedEx fanatic somewhere along the way, because the package hasn't shown up.
Some disgruntled person that was waiting for a package said, hey, if my package isn't here, nobody's package is getting there.
Yeah, so if this means protecting my package from the starting point to my house, I am all for it.
Yeah. Okay, what's next? Do the UPS trucks need lasers?
Oh, yeah, armored. Armored UPS trucks.
It's their Second Amendment right to put as many lasers and missiles
that is
on
true.
Any vehicle that they deem necessary.
Mm-hmm. Or not. By the way, this doesn't blow up the missile. This just, I think, confuses the missile, the laser.
Okay, so this is a missile-friendly laser. No missiles will be harmed. For
it just tells the missile,
a missile enthusiast
to go to a UPS truck rather than a FedEx truck.
By the way, I don't know if you guys saw, there was another story attached, kind of related to this. It's been all over the news, that train.
The train. The train is a different story. Oh,
the train needs anti-human lasers.
The train, they could put lasers on the train.
They need to do.
The train
so the
line,
lasers aren't damaging to anybody in particular. They just keep the vehicle from getting attacked.
Yeah, like go shine right in their eyes as they're approaching the train. I don't know if Tyson, have you seen this the train robberies? They go and they rob all the packages out
Where
of these trains.
This?
I think it's just outside of LA.
Wow.
It blew my mind. Mm-hmm. Like it's a story that I've been going back to because it keeps showing up, and I just cannot get over how ransacked these trains are. So
listen.
If your package is lost in transit or just stuck in transit, there's a good chance that it's somewhere near those train tracks.
Yeah. Listen, I think that I am not a thief. I do not steal. But you put somebody in a room with a bunch of unopened packages.
You do gamble, and that it's a form of gambling.
Eventually, you are. You're excited to open those packages and see what's in there. And so I think that, tighten up on the packages. You can't let that stuff get ransacked.
Mm-hmm.
But
people are robbing the train.
Like the old days.
Yeah. I think people are
train robbers.
The FedEx missile defense system is to prevent, I guess, people with some sort of like ground to air missile from taking down FedEx planes.
But Rob, what I'm saying is this is the same thing. The FedEx is like a giant Kinder egg in the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just crack that buddy open and let it rain surprises all over the ground.
But I don't think it works like a pinata. I think if the plane goes down with a missile, I don't think it necessarily like rains, mana from heaven.
Did you watch that show with Tom Hanks?
I had seen the documentary about the guy that from FedEx who was in a plane that crashed on the island and then had nothing but the FedEx supplies that I did. Yes.
Some of the stuff definitely survives. So what Danny and his adventure gang needs to do is go to these places where these planes are going down and adventure out there and find treasures.
Maybe treasure. Danny and the crew could you land a helicopter on a plane, Danny? Are you sophisticated enough to be able to do that?
That would be sweet.
Yeah. Vin Diesel could.
Kick the door in.
But I could not.
And say, look, take this plane wherever you want. The packages are going with
us. Ours. And then we push them out the back into a nice, comfortable place where we can just open all of those boxes at our leisure.
I want to go back to the trains again.
Yeah.
I've not seen any headlines on the train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Are people stopping the trains?
No. So that it's like a station, a transfer station.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the trains stop for, you know, 1 hour, whatever. It doesn't matter. And people are waiting in, concealed to the side. Okay. And then they swarm the trains and just ransack. I don't know the numbers, but if you see the damage and the pictures they show is how much is that's just 1 month of these trains getting ransacked. What you see on the ground, they cleaned it up in December. And the pictures they show from the article are just a month. It is just littered with, and they leave tons of stuff on the ground because they're only interested in things they could resell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like a lot of your personalized toys, Tyson, are probably okay. Okay. A lot of your figurines you've ordered are probably okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean the train,
you
the
mean
train,
okay, as in they're just left on the side of the road.
They're left there. On the
I
side.
I have to go get them.
Yeah. Okay. But what I see here is an overall trend of protecting my packages, and the trains need lasers and probably like full train taser mode. Mm-hmm. The planes need anti-missiles. The UPS trucks need maybe some armor, anything to protect my package. Mm-hmm. From getting from Spain to me, because there's a lot of danger between
this Spain is like me. The Wild West out here, yeah. Man. This is crazy.
Or the pirate days.
Or the pirate days.
The return of pirates. I mean, there are pirates. Remember, that was a big thing over there by the Suez Canal. The pirates going out from whatever country, I can't remember, and ransacking. Tom Hanks also in a documentary about that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I saw that one.
The Somalis pirates. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have pirates and now we have train robbers. And I mean, what's next is just, I don't know why you'd want to blow up a FedEx
guy with the twisty curled up mustache. Mm-hmm. Probably is what's coming.
What I want to know is what intel did FedEx get that they're like, oh, that's it. We need lasers on our planes. Because this doesn't just come out of the blue.
It does not happen.
Ducks
often.
In the chat says. Yeah. Ducks in the chat says that Tom Hanks has had an interesting life.
There have been two high-profile missile attacks in recent years, but those attacks appear to have been from where the plane was misidentified.
Yeah, in 2003, a DHL plane was hit. Taking off from Baghdad, which is what I would expect. So if you do have a FedEx plane landing in some hot zones, mm-hmm. then maybe the lasers.
What are you ordering, Danny, that's coming from Baghdad?
Yeah. Some beautiful tapestries. Okay. Some
dates. Breakaway tapestries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very cool. Right. Yeah.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Tell the story of a fight that broke out where a Michael Jackson impersonator was in a street fight in Las Vegas. Tyson, did you see this?
No, but I'm going to say that if he's any good at looking identical to Michael Jackson, he's losing the fight.
No, he won the fight.
Yeah, but what? Did you watch the fight? I
was
watched
it a dance fight?
No, Michael Jackson should have great footwork when it comes to fighting. But they did the thing that I would do. I think it's just natural not to want to get your face hit. They did like the thing, you know, where you're swinging at each other, but leaning backwards. It's only that Michael got in on the guy and got him grappled.
Okay.
That he won the fight. Because the guy who can get in and grapple
match.
Yeah. It all comes down to grapple. I think grapple will always win the fight over leaning back, throwing Hail Marys over and over and over again.
Do we know?
You get tired, till you get exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we know why Michael Jackson was fighting this man in Vegas?
Yeah, guy, I think the guy pulled his hair or was pulling his hair. Yeah. He was messing with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't physically.
No, touch that's assault.
Someone like that. Mm-hmm. That's already assault. Yeah.
So good. You know, Michael Jackson, I don't know. I didn't know there was that many impersonators, but he got in there. That's the thing. If you want to win a fight, you have to take a chance and go in. I feel like, I don't know if I'm that kind of guy.
Or be the first to strike. Like, oh, you're going to fight? Yeah, I want to fight. Do you want to fight? Yeah, I want to fight. Okay, we both want to fight. Let's talk about fighting. Punch. Whoever does that first, like, punch, 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 while there's talking about fighting, wins.
And record that conversation, because you have to record that you got consent, that it wasn't.
Is that how it works? I think whoever hits first is probably going to be held accountable.
Yeah, you should be. Words aren't, that's not violence. You got to say, are you okay if we fight and I punch you in the face?
Can I punch you in the face?
Yes. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, sweet. Boom.
Yeah. Can I punch you in the face again, sir?
Yeah. And then you break your hand.
Yeah. Then they can't press charges.
Yeah. There was a kid in junior high once. I grew up in a,
you've told us, a very violent junior high.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And one kid, did I already tell you the story about the kid who they got in a fight? The one kid turned to walk away from the fight. The other kid punched him in the back of the head, shattered his forearm, and pooped his pants at the same time from the pain of shattering his forearm. Ran to the bathroom to try and flush his poopy undies down the toilet, but a crowd of people followed him in there, and his entire life was ruined forever.
That's the problem with fighting. Oftentimes there are no winners because the body is fragile.
Very
and unless
very
you're fragile, unless yeah. you're an MMA guy or girl or a boxer, it's like, I don't know how to throw or take a punch. Mm-hmm. So and also, neither option is good for me. And so maybe my best option is to curl up in a ball or try the grapple.
Mm-hmm. And also
I can't.
Walking around in junior high claiming that you're an MMA fighter is going to get you in so many fights as people are like, I'm going to say you're not, and I'm going to fight you to be the king of the fighting. And so like, if fighting. You're taking karate or something,
are you the king of fighting high, or the king of pop, sir?
Yeah. If you're taking karate in junior high and you're advertising that you take karate, you're going to get a lot of challengers. Fight. Yeah. You're going to get a lot of challengers.
Yeah.
Probably by an F dude.
Yeah. That's what happened in the Karate Kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So you want to see the Michael Jackson impersonator in the fight?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's study some of the moves.
All right. Let me see if I can play this. And
I can already tell they're doing the lean back.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if I can get this. Okay. Here's the Michael Jackson versus this guy.
Stepping in to help Michael Jackson.
They think it's part of the show.
Oh, geez. Now he's pulling his hair.
Oh, now he's got a choke. But you know what I mean? He got a grip on that guy early on, and that's what brought the...
That guy is clearly very drunk. Yeah.
He deserves this.
This is all part of... It's not part of the show, but like in Vegas, as a Michael Jackson impersonator, you have to assume that these drunk people are going to harass you and be ready for it, but also... You're not going to be intimidated by a guy who can barely stand up.
Man, fights, other than fights by professionals, fights look so stupid. They really do.
Unless it's properly choreographed or high level professional. Because even like low level, like you're like, oh, the farm league to the MMA. You're like, this isn't real fighting.
Yeah, I mean, that's just embarrassing to watch for both parties. It just doesn't look like the movies. I want to see spin kicks, roundhouses.
Do you think that the Michael Jackson impersonator is very grateful that he's wearing a costume so that in this viral video, nobody really knows who he is?
100%.
The other guy's face is just like, we see his face a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So that dude will never be able to live this down. Mm-hmm. I bet his name is in the comments there on that video. You can find it.
Oh, I know that. That's Troy. That's Chad.
That's Chad from Ohio.
Chad Chudowski.
No, that guy's too old to be Chad.
Yeah.
Frank.
Yeah, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, yeah. Okay. All right. I have some big news, all right?
Oh.
Okay. Ooh.
All right. That we have a new leader, okay?
Okay.
Tell me who to worship.
There is a three-eyed rare calf that was born with four nostrils, and people are pumped up.
Dude, hold nothing up. Gets me more pumped up than a muted
baby
animal.
Cow with three eyes and four nostrils. Mm-hmm. How old now? Is it still alive?
Yeah. Because
a lot of these mutants don't live very long.
Okay, let's see. How long is it alive?
It's disturbing, by the way.
Yeah. What?
This animal.
You don't want to see a picture?
No, I mean, you probably should see it if it is your new leader. You need to get comfortable.
It was born on January 14th. So
January 14th, just 4 days ago.
Baby newborn calf.
I'm not going to start worshiping this thing until it's at least 2 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wait a while because you don't want to make a mistake.
Right. I don't think this thing like, and it's not because somebody's going to kill it. It's because generally when you're born with this type of thing as an animal, like they always have like the pictures of like the two-headed snakes and stuff like that. They don't live very long because they're innards are all amok.
You know what's interesting? I thought this was a different story because I read a story about a two-headed cow that was born like a month or two ago. So it's tough. Now, I don't know who to worship. Is it the two-headed cow?
Yeah.
This is a totally new deity. I just popped up on the scene. I got to wrap my head around this and I need to choose.
And then I saw a story also that I was going to pull about a woman that has two sets of her female reproductive organs and that she uses one for rearing children and the other she has an OnlyFans for.
Wait, how did she decide which one got the OnlyFans? Because that seems like the better job.
I mean, she flipped a coin. I don't know.
Mm. And why just one get the OnlyFans? It seems like interesting.
I'll have to have Tyson
look into this more.
One was for business and one was for pleasure. And that was it. Actually, probably the same one. I don't know.
You just saw the headline. And then you moved on with your life and now you're recalling it.
I'm recalling it. Yeah.
I would honestly rather worship the two-headed cow.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's going to ask a lot less of me.
Yeah.
And be a lot cheaper.
Okay.
To worship.
If the cow has two heads, do they need to use both of the Oculus Rifts to increase its milk production?
Now they need four. Remember? Because it was two, one for each eye.
Mm-hmm.
For a normal cow, standard cow, but for the two-headed, that's a lot of Oculus. At that point, you're losing money with your milk investment.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But if it's deity, if it's like holy milk, you're selling that at a premium. Mm-hmm. You might be able to make your money back.
Yeah. The veterinarian on call says that they do not believe this is the reincarnation of a god, as some in the area believed. They believe it's just some sort of a mutation.
Well, I mean, that's his opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's entitled to that.
Yeah.
But
okay.
In this time and age, people need some hope.
A sign. Yeah.
And it sounds like the three-eyed cow might be bringing some hope. All right. So,
all right. More on that story as it develops. Okay.
I'm excited.
You know, prices have been going up. That's been no secret. Prices of meat as well. And as the price of specifically pork has gone higher, that there are some people who are turning to an alternative source of meat, and that is the meat of a crocodile. Tyson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a three-eyed, four-nostril cow. Already?
No.
Big old croc steak?
No. In Thailand, the demand for crocodile meat has gone through the roof.
Are crocodiles
not a good thing?
Protected, though? I feel like crocodiles aren't. I hardly ever see them in Arizona, so how rare are they?
Yeah, I'm with Tyson. It seems like we've got the pig thing down. We could mass breed them. They make multiple kinds of meat that are delicious. Yeah. I feel like if we start going down the crocodile road, eventually there will be no crocodiles.
Yeah, and I'm not saying what's right or wrong, but like, are there crocodile farms? How are like that's? For the novelty of something, will usually try it, but I have to say that. I don't know.
Why don't they do python steaks and meat, you know, in Florida where they've got the invasive species?
That's what they should do. Yeah.
Smart. That into
we should only be eating invasive species.
Yeah.
And bugs.
And bugs.
That's a solution. And Florida's got tons of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got the monkeys, the hepatitis monkeys, probably now up to like a population of near a million, I'm sure, in some remote corner of Florida. You got the python. So it's a python monkey.
Do you think that this will be a popular political platform to run on?
Thailand? To run on the croc meat platform in Thailand or to run on the python meat platform here?
Yeah, I think here.
It would be interesting to hear the discussion.
I don't think so. I don't think the platform,
I think it would be like something to talk about and have a discussion. But I think that whenever you are choosing a platform, you always have to choose what the majority agrees with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't go with the, and also you don't go straight to meat.
Yeah.
Meat is something you do in a restaurant with some of the norms, right? You're like, oh, look at me. I'm eating some python meat with the norms at a restaurant. But in private, yeah, it's not an issue for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, you take these invasive species. You got the hippos in Colombia. You've got are they the baboons in Florida? You've got all the snake species in Florida. You got lionfish globally. I think carp here mm-hmm. in a lot of lakes. You've got the cane toad pretty much on every island in the Pacific. You've got
so lots of meats to choose from. I think lots and kind lots of what you hit on here.
Yeah, lots and lots of meats.
Mm-hmm. Like we should just be eating pure carp here in Utah.
Yeah. It's very bony fish, but I do know that there is. So there is a Rob, there's a lake in Utah that is taken over by carp. Mm-hmm. And there is one fishing vessel on that lake that exports the carp to China because that culture enjoys a good carp. Here, I don't think that we've really
appreciated,
delved into the delicacy of the very bony carp fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you eat crocodile meat, Rob?
So I think I've had alligator before. Yeah,
you live in Carolina. You've had
no, I didn't have it here. I didn't have it here. But
had it in Florida.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm not repulsed by the idea.
What did it taste like? Just out of curiosity,
greasy chicken, maybe.
Yeah, they say it tastes like chicken. I really don't remember. Yeah. That was when I used to drink more than I do now, so I really can't exactly recall. But I don't remember being grossed out.
Yeah, I had like chicken nuggety style alligator chunks from Gatorland of all places, like a gator preserve
real type like of thing. Exotic thing going on.
Yeah. It's like going to the zoo and picking out like
lion meat
cage animal that you're going to eat for lunch.
Unless they died of natural causes, and then that I guess makes more sense when they're like, this was an 87-year-old lion that you're eating right now.
All right, so
that's why it's so stringy. Yeah.
Crocodile meat, look for it, maybe coming to you.
Yeah,
to your a local Burger grocer. King in Japan, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the next logical step, we'll see like, oh, a Burger King in Japan is offering the new crocodile burger. And then it's like, okay, that's like the next test balloon. And then... What?
Crocodile patty.
I did hear a review. Was it KFC that came out with Impossible Nuggets?
Mm-hmm. Somebody did. Yeah, I saw that.
And I think that they're awful is the review.
That was what
I
saw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But are real nuggets good?
I think real nuggets are objectively good.
Yeah, I think just have to add more salt probably. If you're making an imitation nugget that isn't good, it probably doesn't have enough salt in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or scraps. Skin, gizzard,
beak
scraps,
bee holes. Okay, yeah. You're right. Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There's been some talk on this podcast about potentially people doing a mukbang, competitive eating.
Yep.
There was a woman who was part of a charity event. She ate 32 sushi rolls.
Of course she did.
Wow.
Yes.
Full rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Like just thinking about taking 32 rolls and mashing them up into one giant roll. That's, mm-hmm. that's a lot of material.
Yeah. It ended up with her going to the hospital.
As all great meals will end up.
Mm-hmm.
Your croc meat might end up this way too.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm sorry that
I read she was trying to get her money's worth, Rob.
I don't know where I got the charity thing from. I think I gave her like too much credit. Maybe I got that confused with another story. I look at a lot of News AF on a Tuesday morning. So no, she was just at all you can eat sushi.
Yeah, that's what I read. And she was trying to get her money's worth, which is fair.
Yeah. And that means if she ate that many rolls at an all you can eat sushi place,
She had to have been there for like 19 hours.
By the way, she had more than rolls.
They are so slow at bringing stuff out, and that's on purpose to let you feel full before you get your next thing. So it's like, oh, I need this. And they're like, okay, that will be 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they show up with that and you're like, can I order another roll? And they're like, not till you're finished with that one. And then you finish that one. And then you're like, I want that. Like, it's a whole scheme.
Yeah. Danny, what else did she have with the rolls?
I want to say I read that she also had ramen. And like,
yeah, she started off with miso soup.
Four gyoza.
And jalapeno poppers, Danny.
That's what it was. Jalapeno poppers. I do remember reading that. So she was pre-gaming. And then she went after the 32 sushi rolls. I mean, this woman's a champion. She should consider a career in competitive eating because that's...
Well, no, she couldn't handle it.
No, but I mean, she got to 32. And by the way, couldn't handle it. She went to 31.
Still would have been champion level.
Yeah, if she had stopped at 31.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know where your limits are until you really push yourself. Yeah. And that's what a champion does.
I think the thing about the sushi is that I think then you could eat it, but then I think the rice expands.
Hmm.
That's part of the problem here.
Yeah. Well, and then also the other thing too is that if you eat that much sushi, even if you've never eaten fish in your life, you definitely have mercury poisoning.
Yeah. Consider all the plastics you've just consumed with your fish.
It's true.
Yeah.
Probably not the finest sushi. And I don't know. I've just always had this opinion of all you can eat sushi that it can't be good sushi, that it's probably faux fish, right?
No, I've been to some decent all you can eat sushi places. I'm not a sushi guy. I can eat sushi if I have to. And if something is exactly perfect how I want it, I will eat it. But I'm past the point of like, remember, like, I don't know, 15 years ago when everybody was like, sushi's the greatest meal you could ever eat. And everybody's like, well, let's go to sushi.
Mm-hmm.
I had my fair share. And I had a friend, like a really good friend, whose sister worked at a sushi restaurant. So we would go there sometimes.
Okay.
That friend was Danny Bryson.
True. And yes.
And now I'm over it. I don't need raw fish. I want a warm, delicious meal for dinner.
This woman's probably over it too.
She says she's not.
She wants more. She's going to go to 33 rolls.
She said that this has not ruined the experience. I will definitely eat sushi again. She said that the experience has not ruined sushi for me or the all you can eat experience. I did learn next time I need to listen to my body and take things slower.
I think that's probably words we can all live by a little bit. Listen to your bodies.
Yeah, the body does come with some haptic feedback. And I don't know if that applies to things other than your hands, but it is sending you messages constantly that you're getting. And you're like,
it's basically a synapse from whatever location is feeling something straight to your brain.
Yeah, as your stomach is stretching to the near tearing point,
your mind
is receiving messages that hopefully you're listening to.
Yeah.
And actually, by the way, Rob, that's what being a champion is also about, is learning to listen to your body and to live on that line, but not cross it.
Yeah. I do remember growing up learning a story about a stagecoach driver competition. And it was a wealthy person trying to choose a stagecoach driver for themselves personally. Yep. And they were trying to see, they said, okay, the competition is to see which stagecoach driver can get the closest to the cliff edge
on
the mountain road without driving the stagecoach over the cliff. And so these stagecoach drivers were intent on getting, so the first guy gets a foot away from the cliff's edge, and everybody's like, wow, that was really close. The next driver gets like 6 inches from the cliff's edge. Everybody's like, wow, that's so close. The next driver gets a wheel hanging off the cliff edge, and they're like, wow, you can't get closer than that. And the next guy gets as far away from the cliff's edge as possible. And that is the guy that gets hired.
What a lesson.
Yeah. Be a coward.
So two rolls in, Tyson, you're hired.
Leave.
Yeah. Just get up, walk away. Yeah.
I think you order and leave. I don't think you even...
You get it to go?
They don't
allow that.
Okay. Especially at all you can eat. I like to get in there and on an all you can eat, this is my thing. I get in there.
Yeah.
I order a few things that I think I'm going to like, but not so much that I'm going to be wasteful. I taste every like three or four things. I taste the things and the things that I love. I finish eating. The things that I don't, I pass off to someone who does maybe love them and go from there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, the beauty of all you can eat sushi, you don't have to wait that long unless so you're waiting for them to bring more stuff out. But that was not the case for people at Disney World who were waiting for quite some time for a dragon shaped popcorn bucket. Mm-hmm. Danny, how long would you wait on a line at Disney World for something that was not even a ride?
Let me just say this. If you are a Disney World fan, you are a champion line waiter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you love the waiting game.
I can't compare because I am not a fan of Disneyland. So therefore, I don't like lines. And I don't have line skills.
Yes.
So no number you say will shock me because I'm assuming these are Disney people.
Yes.
And they have been trained to wait in line.
One of the three types of people.
Yes.
Yeah, three types.
If I go into even a restaurant, and I'm like, how long's the wait? And they say half an hour. My line back to them is, I've never had food that's worth waiting half an hour for. And then I leave. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'm impatient. But I would be so enraged. They waited 6 hours in line. That's how long these people waited, right?
Seven.
Ooh.
For a dragon-shaped popcorn.
Yeah,
bucket.
Let me see if I can get you a good picture.
Yeah, we need to see a picture. Maybe that'll change all.
Looks like. And maybe you said like, oh no, I would wait 7 hours for that. Okay. All right. So
is this something you can sell online now for hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Oh, maybe.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
And that's a thing.
Let me see. Okay. So yeah, it's just a drag. I don't even know what this character is.
So mad at Disney and these people for just succumbing to Disney's like, hey, they buy a ticket, then they wait half of the time that ticket allows them in the park. Yeah.
So here's the thing. This is called the Figment Popcorn Bucket. It's modeled after a character from Epcot's various iterations of the Journey into Imagination ride. It's filled with rainbow-colored popcorn and shaped like a dragon. And $25 for the bucket is one of the several new and returning treats at the Pop Eats booth at Epcot. So if you wanted this, 7 hours to wait for this dragon with colored popcorn.
Nope. I'll tell you what I do. I go to the front of near the front of the line. I give someone $200 to get me one.
Yeah, that's what it says here. eBay recorded a few that sold over $200.
Mm-hmm.
So you can resell those.
Yeah, but not for that much. $200 isn't a lot. But if you really wanted one personally yourself, instead of waiting the 6-7 hours, you just go to the front of the line and give somebody 150, 100. Somebody would do it for 100. Would probably do it for 50.
Mm-hmm. What do you do for those 7 hours?
Just like, here's $200 by eight of them.
But not for anything. I mean, how much is your time at Disney World worth? Like, what is the cost of admission divided by the number of hours that you are there? At what
these
point
are season
is
pass.
This? Yeah. Season pass?
Yeah, these are season pass holders. Remember, professional lines. Line people. And then, they have to be season pass holders.
And they're probably taking surveys on their phone this entire
Yeah, the whole time.
Who knows? 10 cents a pop. Yeah. What I would do here, let's say there's another idea, is if you could get in line one of the first, just buy 100 of them and then just stand right next to the thing and sell them for $50.
So the online equivalent of what everybody experiences when something cool comes out, that all the bots buy them.
Yeah.
At least here it was a physical location and you had to be there personally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's probably a purchase limit. Some OMG in the chat said, and that's probably true. So anyways, I'm disappointed in these people, disappointed in Disney. And
why are you disappointed? Each person gets to decide what their time's worth, right? Mm-hmm. And just because you don't value that dragon shaped bucket and you don't think it's worth 7 hours doesn't mean it's not worth 7 hours to somebody else. Mm-hmm. That could be the highlight of their year, Tyson, is that dragon-shaped bucket of popcorn with the colorful popcorn.
You think they've already peaked in 2022?
Yeah, that's like, well, better to peak early on and know you got your peak where things go to pot. You always have your popcorn holder.
That is true.
So, You know what? If this is worth it to them, then that's their Everest.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Okay. Orlando's Universal Studios, they clapped back at Disney. They tweeted out, meanwhile, Jurassic World hashtag VelociCoaster is 35 minutes. Just saying.
Wait, the line is 35 minutes?
Yeah.
The line is 35 minutes.
Dude, that's not a clapback. They need to hire the guy from Pabst Blue Ribbon. I'm sure he's available. You want a real clapback?
Waiting in line for 7 hours for this pink dragon filled with popcorn? Try eating you know what.
That doesn't even meet Tyson's requirement for a line. There's no ride good enough for Tyson to wait 35 minutes.
Would you wait 35 minutes for a great ride, Tyson?
I mean, not a fan of great rides per se, but for my daughters, yes, I would.
Okay. Would your daughters like the VelociCoaster?
Not yet, but maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future.
But also, I, depending on the trajectories and the movements of the VelociCoaster, I might simply wait in line with my daughters and then bypass the ride while they go on the ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what's going on there. Also, I got one other story about, did you happen to catch that? I know you're not huge sports fans of the NFL, but The Rock popped on last night to talk with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning.
And some cast.
People, yeah, on the Manning cast.
On the Manning cast, yeah.
And they noticed that The Rock has like something even more interesting than Tyson's lion painting in his background. The Rock apparently has a giant T-Rex skull in his home.
Oh, like a real legit one?
Yeah. Well,
that's cool.
Hold on.
Yes.
I'm just looking this over. I didn't see this.
Okay.
I'm probably cutting off Rob.
Yes.
The T-Rex has a name. It's Stan.
Stan.
And Stan sold at an auction to an undisclosed buyer for $31 million.
Yes.
And The Rock has it.
That's a flex right there. Mm-hmm. Just kind of subtly. I wish I had something of value in my background rather than a lamp. But maybe I need to find the most valuable thing in my house for next week.
Yeah.
And just kind of put it in the background.
You think that's the real Stan, or do you think that is a replica?
A replica?
I'm kind of leaning towards replica. It has that replica look, doesn't it?
You don't put $31 million T-Rex skull in your house like that and then show it to people, because that is when you become a target.
What a Zoom background. Yeah. That does not belong at The Rock's house. That belongs in some place where it can be enjoyed by everyone at Universal Studios on the VelociCoaster.
35 minute wait.
But a $31 million T-Rex skull.
I agree. The Rock is loaded and he has the money that he could afford a T-Rex skull like that. But I don't think even The Rock can put that on display and say, this is what I own, because you become a target.
You think someone will break into The Rock's house and steal the T-Rex skull? Do you, I mean, do you think the people from the train?
I think the people from the train will ransack the house and at the very least,
yeah, The Rock can't beat us all up.
Yeah, that's right. Plus, he may not even be able to beat anybody up. Maybe those muscles aren't even functional at this point.
Mm.
We don't know.
All for show.
Can he rip a t-shirt off?
Aesthetic.
I haven't
seen him rip a shirt off in a long time.
Depends on the seams. How strong are those seams? By the way, I would love to have a T-Rex skull. I think that's super cool. But I've always kind of been confused with fossils when I go to museums, because sometimes I feel like they're showing you cement poured replicas or plaster. You know what I mean? So it's like 10% authentic dinosaur bone surrounded by plaster replica. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to buy a $31 million Stan, I want to know that it's all 100% authentic T-Rex. Yeah. Like, this was a skull that was surrounded by its flesh when it laid down in that mud and died.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate the whole fossil thing where it's, yeah, a little bit of dinosaur and a lot of plaster.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks to me like he has some, that doesn't look like the real one.
Hmm. Okay. We'll see. I do think that The Rock could eat 32 sushi rolls, because I've seen The Rock post sometimes on Instagram, legendary cheat days, Danny.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of his.
He's a mukbanger.
Unofficial mukbangs. Mm-hmm. He does like giant pizzas, like
sushi.
Five,
yeah.
It's impressive.
When The Rock cheats, The Rock eats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can smell what The Rock is cooking from several blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Rock probably bench presses that T-Rex skull, you know, for part of his exercise.
Probably punches it like Rocky in the freezer with the meat.
It would shatter. He's probably got like 100 replicas that he has all over his house to punch at any given time.
No, he punches dead crocs to tenderize the meat.
Oh, wow.
Hangs him by the tail in his workout room and just totally softens up the meat with some nice punching.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Do you think he spars with Michael Jackson?
Oh, that's the thing, is The Rock would never want to be caught in public in a real fight. Cause ruinous would it be for his career if he's doing the lean back cat paw striking thing.
If a Michael Jackson impersonator beat him up.
Right.
I mean, and then took his T-Rex skull.
He's been professionally trained for years and years and years, on how to at least make it look like a real
fight. But when you're getting struck in the face, or that's a real possibility, most people are like, no, thank you. I'll just lean back and throw my hands out.
Although, if you were going to fight The Rock and you were going to sort of time this out, I think that you plan it on the day that he has just finished the cheat day 32 sushi rolls, 9 pizzas, and the jalapeno poppers. And that's when you step up to The Rock.
Just punch him right in the stomach and he'll just projectile
like King Hippo.
Hear me out here too. What if The Rock hired a team of professionals to make a replica after he saw the T-Rex skull sell for $31 million, mm-hmm. but it actually cost him $32 million to get this team of experts to build a replica.
Okay.
Hey, that's cool, but it doesn't have any of the authentic dinosaur bone.
Yeah.
And I'm all about the bone.
Yeah, dude. Danny loves the bone.
Danny, we know you love the bone, but do you love the bolt hole
even more than the bone?
Okay. Everyone loves the bolt hole.
All right. Let's go to Danny's bolt hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yes!
A nocturnal emission.
You know what the news really does? Is it gives us a glimpse into the other side. Like some of the craziest stuff, right? But if you think about all the crazy things you see on the news that we talk about, mm-hmm. I like to imagine all the things happening around the world that we never, ever see. Right. Okay. It's got to be absolutely wild. And there was a video that came out, and I didn't talk about it last week because I thought for sure it would show up. And it was the one of the woman carrying her pet lion through the streets.
OK, I didn't see this.
So her pet lion escaped. And she went to go retrieve it. So she's holding this lion like this under its arms. And the lion is going absolutely crazy as she's carrying it, waddling down the street. Probably weighs as much as a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, if this person hadn't been awake, the person filming from the window, this event would have gone unnoticed.
Yeah.
This woman would have carried her pet lion. We would never have seen what is, in my mind, one of the crazier things that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so much about the story that's weird. She owns a pet lion, which, you know, a lot of boxers own pet lion, tigers occasionally, some famous people. So it's not unusual, but this seems to be just a random person who owns a pet lion somewhere in the Middle East. And then it escaped. So it was out on the streets, probably with children playing nearby, and that she was able to find it and then attempted to carry it back while it's swatting at her face. Mm-hmm. And eventually she even puts it down. And the lion is just kind of like, upset that it got caught. And as someone who occasionally picks up a cat, I can't even imagine picking up a cat of this size. I can't even I touch my cat. It's like disgusting. And I like hold it away from me, but to have to like get in intimately with a lion to carry it down the street to return it home. I don't know. It just blew my mind. I'm surprised it didn't show up. If you haven't seen the video, and if you haven't seen the video of the train tracks, those are two videos you should see, because it's just like, understand when you watch this video of the woman carrying the lion, that this probably has happened quite often in the past. This isn't the first time.
The lion gets out.
Yeah, the lion gets out and someone grabs their lion and carries it back to their house.
Where did I see this video of this woman carrying the lion?
It was all over. I fully expected it to show up. It's a big lion,
like almost as big as her.
Almost as big as her.
And she's leaning back and she has it around the back from underneath the arms. And she's leaning way back to keep it from dragging.
Are you sure this wasn't the guy that fought Michael Jackson?
I was just going to say that this woman is so much more... Like, if you were to fight her, if she's not afraid of being swatted by a lion's paw, I bet you she goes right in on the Michael Jackson impersonator and just grapples him to the ground. Because if you can grapple a lion, I think that you can grapple a human.
Yeah.
You should watch the video, though, and just realize that this type of stuff.
See, I can pull it up. People are asking me to get the.
I can send you the link.
Yeah, I have it. I have it. All okay. Right. All right. Here we go. Here is a video of our woman carrying the lion down the street. Okay? Let's see.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. Now, when you told the story, Danny, I was imagining sort of like baby Simba, like in The Lion King, of like a little like lion cub.
Like Tyson said, this lion is almost the same size as the woman carrying it. This is not a puppy sized lion or a kitten. This is like at least a teenage lion. Look at that thing. And look at his hands going absolutely crazy and how well she's blocking it. Like, this woman's a real street brawler. And like, she could take on impersonator.
Yeah.
She's not afraid of taking one to the face for her lion. And
probably the thing that alerted the person making the video was the loud lion noises.
Yeah, if you like, our cat makes loud noises. I can only imagine what those would sound like coming from a lion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, probably woke up when he saw a woman wrestling with a lion out on the street. Again, this isn't some random event. These types of things take place all the time. And at News AF, our job here is to expose...
Yeah.
You know, how strange the world we live in actually is.
Yes. And where did this happen, Danny?
Oh gosh. It was somewhere in the, I want to say like Oman or somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hold on. It's somewhere where they, you have access to lion cells, which isn't something you have here.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you, does this make you want to get,
Kuwait. Okay.
Does this make you want to get a bigger cat, Danny?
No. You know, I look at my cat and I've seen enough mountain lions in the wild that there is, even in a house cat, there's a lot of actions that it does that are very similar to wild cats, which is interesting. It's like you haven't taken all the wild out of even a house cat. The way they pounce on things, just their hunting instincts. It's very similar to the things you see when I'm out looking at mountain lions.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I would not want a larger one. It's just, the stink gets worse. The claws get bigger. And eventually I'll find myself out in the middle of the street, 2 a.m, wrestling my pet lion back to my house.
Well, here's the thing is, if you know how they say that cat urine, sometimes can breed some type of bacterial infection in the brain that makes you more sympathetic towards cats. Does big cat urine have an even more potent urine?
That's interesting.
That makes you even more sympathetic towards cats.
It's like a cat roofie just has to pee in your face for you to have some sympathy and do its bidding.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the way they say that, like, the cat lady, quote unquote, exists, is because
ends up with more cats.
You react this
I couldn't figure out why they have people have so many cats. And now yes. Tyson, what you've said makes total sense.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. cats brainwash you with their urine.
Yeah.
That's correct. That's mm-hmm. I think that is a scientific thing.
Well, if you've said it out loud, it's a fact already.
Okay. It's on the internet.
So it's on the internet. You just gave birth to a fact. No mm-hmm. need to check it.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right. Pass out the cigars.
Yeah. Okay. Giving birth to a fact.
Yes. All right. Dan, anything else from the bolt hole you want to share?
Yeah. If you're over 45, don't shovel snow. Cause I did read a report that said that, that could be real bad for you.
Okay.
The age to end shoveling snow is 45. 45. Just putting that PSA all out right. there.
The weight, why is that for your back? Is that for your heart?
Heart, back, all sorts of things happen if mm-hmm. you're out of shape and shoveling snow at 45.
Death what if you're in shape?
I'm hoping that actually you have a better chance of surviving snow shoveling.
Is that what
experience.
The Rock does?
But you still avoid it, Danny. And
no, I do shovel snow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But now I'm thinking maybe the time to buy a snowblower.
But also your wife is much younger. So she has a good 8 years of shoveling snow in her, mm-hmm. right?
That's true.
And you said she needs to get stronger.
She does. Whenever we carry things together, we don't really carry things together. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I carry them and she does help a little bit. So yeah maybe I'll put her on this snow shoveling the minute I can't. I'll tell her I can't.
You have a note. Print out that article, Danny.
Yeah. If anyone's interested, go to that article, print it out, show it to your wife and let her know that you're trying to kill me. You are killing me by making me shovel that snow.
There was a, I had a conversation with my brother who lives in Utah, who used to shovel snow, and I helped him shovel snow over the holidays. He has a snowblower now. And he actually was just like, I used to like shoveling snow because you felt like you were getting a workout and it does a better job than a snowblower. Cause a snowblower a lot of times leaves like a little film of slick.
Yep.
And he was like, but now it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So he blows his snow, but I took a shovel out and it was the classic man versus machine.
Dude, you were so close to death. You didn't even know.
I did a better job. Mine looked cleaner. Mine was closer to the asphalt. He probably got more square footage covered in the time that I shoveled, but not by much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stephen Fishback tweeted this week, I get deep soul pleasure shoveling the sidewalk in front of my house like the suburban dad I have become.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a suburban dad, mm-hmm. then
Normally
something.
Suburban dads buy snowblowers though, so they can talk about their snowblowers.
Eventually, but also making those crisp, clean lines on that sidewalk with a shovel.
Mm-hmm. Does look good.
Yeah. Does look nice.
Yeah. And you know who was a real badass? Remember that guy from Home Alone?
Yep. The salt trash can guy.
Then eventually at the end, those guys are going to kill Kevin McAllister. And then he comes in and whacks them both with a shovel.
What would he have done with a snowblower?
I mean, that guy changed the 90s. Oh, could you imagine Home Alone ends with Kevin McAllister, like grizzly murdered in front of a young viewing audience?
An audience.
That's the movie HBO would have
changed
made.
A generation.
Yeah. Yeah, that really did. And it would have been. Imagine how our lives would be different now.
Mm-hmm. Hella old.
Yeah, he was very old. Mm-hmm. But that's when those guys were in shape back then, the hard men of the 90s. You know, we don't have that anymore where it's like, oh, your shoulder feels like it's out of socket. Yeah. Well, just keep lifting till that pain goes away.
He's like, I shovel every day and I've got shrapnel from Korea in my arms, both arms.
And he had a family that was like, Dad, will you spend time with us? He's like, no, I got to get out of the shovel because nobody else will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He fought with his son about it.
He couldn't
see his granddaughter anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All because his first love was shoveling.
As the suburban dad that he is.
Yes. He's like, I'm a suburban dad.
He was a suburban grandpa.
I take great, great pleasure.
But when he was younger, he was a dad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm understanding is you guys are saying the shoveling drove his family away.
That was the wedge. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think
the mountain of snow was a metaphor.
That was the underlying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We knew as viewers, that's why, but they didn't specifically.
And the salt was
why.
The salt in the wound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing this family across the street really was.
It represented the salt in the wound, but it also represented him being the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we've just pointed out another danger of shoveling. So it can give you a heart attack and it can drive your family away. So
if you fall too much for the sweet siren song of the shoveling the snow.
Yeah.
So the deep soul pleasure it gives you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's probably a balance. I mean, everything in moderation.
And Danny, this is a metaphor for you with two Oculus Rifts in the house that I feel like the same allure of the deep soul pleasure of shoveling the snow could be for, you know, a lesson for you that don't fall too in love with the metaverse.
It's true.
I take great pleasure in watching both my kids on those things. It is. Yeah. It looks so ridiculous to see them in the same room.
Mm-hmm. Danny, the best thing is I used to have Google Glass.
Yeah.
Or Google Glasses, not Google Glasses, Google 3D, whatever it was. And I would cast what the screen was showing to my TV so I could see it. And then I'd put it on Bergen and see her like react to stuff. So I can't even imagine if there was a way for you to do that so you could see what they were seeing. So
I watch what they're doing.
And then the other thing too is talking about the metaverse. My dad sent me an invite and was like, does this look like something we should go to? And it was like Crypto Bros Conference 2022. And then at the end it was like Meta Masquerade. And I was just like, my dad has no clue what a Meta Masquerade, yeah, metaverse masquerade is. And I was just like, Dad, A, this sounds like it's for nerds. B, it's either stuff I already know or it's stuff that's going to be so far over my head that attending this thing isn't going to matter to me. And also, Dad, you're going to have to get an Oculus Rift to go to the Meta Masquerade party at the end of it all. I was just like imagining my...
Stick to your snow shovel, Dad.
Yeah.
Stick to your snow shovel, the things you know.
I was like, my dad doesn't even know what he's sending right now with the metaverse masquerade ball at the end of it all, dude. And so what is that? Just like an Eyes Wide Shut type of thing in the metaverse?
You're going to end up at a virtual Caligula with a virtual ball gag in your mouth.
With a shrimp cocktail platter, a virtual shrimp cocktail platter.
Watching from the animated people for attending.
Yeah.
To engage.
Did you see that thing? The spoof online and with the, they were like, Mark Zuckerberg invited me to this Meta, like to test out this Meta thing. And it was this floppy Mark Zuckerberg animation with hiding a knife behind his back. And he was like, oh, I'm in the metaverse. And then at the end, he stabs the guy. And he's like, that was pretty cool.
Oh my God. If you die in the metaverse, do you die in real life, Danny?
I think you live more.
Yeah, I think that
if somebody murders you more in the metaverse, you still live in real life.
Yeah, you live even more because I think you're not allowed back in the metaverse.
Oh, that would be cool. Now you're really living. That's what they say, to live in this world is
you must die,
you have to die in the metaverse.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Then you see your own mortality. Wow.
So,
That's amazing. All right. Well, good luck with everything, Danny.
Yeah, I got a lot going on. How about you, Tyson?
What, this week?
Yeah.
No snow shoveling whatsoever here in Arizona, sunny Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but it might rain.
No deep soul pleasure for you, Tyson.
No deep soul pleasure for me yet.
Unless you go to someplace snowy in the metaverse.
Yes, exactly. We got Pickle Pod, which is coming up on Thursday, and we've been crushing it. Just like lots of pickleball. Everybody turns to us for pickleball content. I chose this. So pickleball is about to be in sports books soon.
Well,
I don't know what that
bet
means.
On pickleball?
On professional pickleball.
Oh my God.
I chose a sleeper pick for last week's tournament that ended up winning, which in theory would have won all of our listeners a ton of money. And now I have a interview with a betting media company to talk about betting in pickleball after my dope sleeper pick from last week. And then I just finished watching all of Micronesia, Survivor Micronesia, on 1.5 speed on Netflix, because we're going to talk to Eric, Suri, Natalie, and Parv about that season specifically for the Survivor offseason. And those interviews start tomorrow.
Okay. That's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm really excited to talk to Eric, you know, because 15 years of just deep, deep, deep regret for that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Not deep soul pleasure for Eric Reichenbach.
No.
Whatever the opposite of that is.
Yeah, the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. Okay. And then we've been having a lot of fun with The Amazing Race is back, of course. Did some Survivor 41 interviews that you could check out, plus Joe Millionaire, much more. I'm going to be...
How are you liking Joe Millionaire? You've been watching it?
I'm hating it.
Okay. Not worth watching?
You should listen to the podcast, but you don't need to watch it.
Okay. So I'll listen to the podcast, but do not watch the show.
Do not. Unless you are like trying to have like some kind of penance for something you did in the metaverse, then you can skip the watching the show.
I've been watching Yellow Jackets. I just finished that finale.
Yes.
Yellow Jackets. That's what Rob used to take.
Yes, it is. Yes.
There's a whole show about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome.
And I have to say, I love, in an age where part of the goal of the new show is to create an intro so alluring that you refuse to push the skip button on it while watching the show, this Yellow Jacket show goes the complete opposite and creates this seizure-inducing intro that if you do not push skip fast enough, you will end up like blowing a gasket somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's my main gripe about the show is that, but I talked to Stephen Fishback and he loves the intro because the movie is half set in the show is half set in the 90s. And he's saying it's a quintessential 90s style intro. So,
okay. Interesting.
To each their own.
All right.
He likes shoveling snow. I do not. He loves the intro to Yellow Jackets. Me, not a fan. But still friends. Mm-hmm. Shows you that anything's possible.
Anything's possible. All right. Well, thank you all so much for watching News AF this week. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.